text I read from Luke 18 is familiar to most of us, and perhaps it's too familiar. This week, I have found this text at times haunting, at best perplexing, and deeply concerning. And yet, it is so Jesus. And I think the reality of the text is ever so clear. Jesus tells the story, and the only common thing the two have going is two men go to church to pray. And after that, it's totally different. One's a Pharisee. You know, when we hear the word Pharisee, those of us who've grown up in Sunday school and church, I think we immediately say, oh yes, those Pharisees, we know them. You know, Jesus was always butting heads with them, and they were always arguing with Jesus, and the Pharisees were bad people. But stop and realize that the Pharisees really were deeply religious men. They were in an elite group. They were smart, and they were chosen, and they were of God. The Pharisees loved God, and they longed to know as much about God as they could understand from Scripture. Yes, looking back, we say, but they kept missing all that Jesus kept pointing to. They did. But they loved the church. And they were always at the church, and they were always praying and reading. They were righteous, godly, misguided, but good church people. And Jesus tells the story that the Pharisee, he stands by himself, which is pretty typical, I think. Because he was self-sufficient. He'd come to the church often. He gets this church thing, and he gets prayer. And I can't help but believe that as Jesus told the story, that Jesus and those hearing it knew, oh, the Pharisee, he stood on the front of the church. He came right to the altar, stood by himself, hoping that others would notice, knowing that surely God would notice, because God always noticed him. And so he came to say his prayers, and he boldly calls out, God, oh God, here I am. As a matter of fact, he says, I a lot. I thank you that I am not like other people. Oh, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I have. Pharisee's life was all about I. And then he lists his religious credentials. Did you hear them? I fast twice a week. Now remember, a good Jew was asked to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. But a Pharisee would not once a year, twice a week. And often Pharisees would make sure that they would fast on the 2 days of the week when folks would most likely be in the market. And they would often cover themselves with ashes and sackcloth so that everyone would notice, look, they're fasting. I fast twice a week, God, and I tithe, not of just some parts. You see, Jews could tithe of this or of this, but not of everything. Oh, but not the Pharisee, not this one. He tithed of everything that was his. His credentials were pretty great. And then he said, oh, and God, I am not like them. I'm not like, my translation said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I looked in some contemporary translations. The Living Bible said, quote, "I'm not a sinner like everyone else, especially the tax collector. I don't cheat, and I surely don't commit adultery." The Message translation said, "Well, I'm not a robber or a crook or an adulterer, and heaven forbid, I'm surely not the tax man." The Pharisee, Jesus described him. I wonder, how would Jesus describe what the Pharisee would say today? Would he still say, "I'm not like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or tax collectors"? Maybe. Sinners. "I'm not like sinners," is what he was saying. You fill in the gap. Those sinners, they're all around us. You drove by some today. You know, those folks who don't go to church. Those folks who sit around their yard and they drink beer all day long and they've never darkened the door of the church. You know, those sinners. That's how most Baptists would describe them. Sinners. Those illegal immigrants, that gay, that lesbian, that drunk. Well, that one, they were in prison. Their whole family has been in prison. And they've lived in poverty, and they deserve, if they would just work harder, it's just generation after generation, they're all the same. Those people. But the tax collector, those people, stood at a distance. Two men came to pray at the church. One's at the front, one's at the back. Stood at a distance. He didn't want to be seen by others, and he didn't think others would even notice him anyway. He was never noticed, and probably God would never notice him. He doesn't look up to God. He doesn't pray up to God. He looks down. Jesus said, beating his chest. I picture him with fist clenched, jaw tight, and if you listen, sobs coming from a broken man whose only prayer is not God, but God. God, have mercy. One translation said, God, give mercy to me, a sinner. In the original Greek language, it's stronger than "to me, a sinner." It's "to me, the sinner." What extremes? Two men come to the church to pray. Why did Jesus tell this story? Remember, this is a story. It didn't really happen. Maybe it did sometime, but Jesus is teaching through a parable. Verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, to these, Jesus told this parable. Were there a bunch of Pharisees who were gathered around Jesus? He had been teaching. He had already talked about prayer and this widow. And he looked at them and thought, they need to hear this. Was it then who he was? To those who were confident of their own righteousness. Maybe it was his own disciples. Because it's not long before his disciples are surrounded by children, and the disciples say, "Get away, get away. He doesn't have time for you." Sounded pretty righteous. Maybe Jesus was just talking to general good church folks, those who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Maybe he was talking to us. Who are you in this story? Which one? You know, when I went to seminary, unlike our other ministers, when I went, we were taught, don't ever preach confessional, because people don't want the preacher to be confessional. Preach elevated and let them just think you've got it all worked out. But as I have read and reread, and if you could see my notes, they are a hot mess. When I read this and I ask myself the question, who are you? Which are you? I want to be the second guy. I want to be the sinner. I want to be the one who calls out, "Oh God, have mercy, give mercy, give me grace." Because I know that's who I am. I know what I say, I know what I think, I know what I do. I know I am a sinner. And I read this story and I say, that's me, the tax collector, the sinner. That's who I am. But that's not how I want other folks to see me. Because when I read the parable, I want to be the Pharisee. I want to pretend that I have it all worked out. I want to be the one that walks in and walks to the front of the church or goes to the prayer room and writes my name that I've been there so others will see. I want to be the one who has the ashes on my forehead on Ash Wednesday, and I want to wear them all day so others will say, "Oh, he must be good. He's gone to Ash Wednesday and he's a Baptist." I'm the one that wants to give the offering, and maybe someone will notice the offering, and at least at the end of the year I get that, look how much I've given, and maybe my tax man will notice that, and Aurelia, doesn't it look good? Look at all we've done. I'm so proud to be pastor at First Baptist Church. I love it when people call me throughout the community, "Pastor." The children call me that, and other people call me very, you know, pastors like that. I mean, we don't say Lawyer Kurt or Lawyer David or Music Boy John. Well, we do say that. But we don't say CP, but pastor. And I serve on committees, and I serve on different boards, and my name tag will say pastor. Am I the only one that reads this and can't decide where I fit in? Most of us try to be that which we're not. We know deep down inside, we know who we are. We know we're the sinner, the tax collector, but we don't want others to think we're the sinner. We don't even want God to know. So we pretend. Or we lie. Or we boldly say, "I am a sinner. God have mercy. But God, don't tell anyone, because really I'm the Pharisee, and look, I pray and I give, and I'm not like them. I'm not like other people." Jesus told the story. And then in verse 14, he looked up and said, "I tell you, disciples, Pharisees, Church people, I tell you, this man, the sinner, the tax collector, not the Pharisee, this man went home justified before God. Jesus proclaims grace. Jesus proclaims hope for every sinner. Justified. To be justified is to be declared righteous. To be declared righteous, to be acceptable for God. Justification does not come by our works. Justification does not come by keeping the rules and more rules and all the spiritual law. Justification does not come by being good and better than others. Justification comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Justification comes when we, like this tax collector, says, "Oh God, have mercy." Justification comes through the cross of Christ. Justification comes through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the redemption of Christ, the cross, the cross, the cross. It's all about grace. And it all goes back to the cross. Verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, judged everyone else, Jesus said no. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves at the foot of the cross, oh God, have mercy on me, will be exalted. The journey of Lent, the journey towards the resurrection, I hope it's not a depressing journey for you. Someone said, I hope you preach a light sermon today. We've had a hard week. We need something good. This is good. This is good because it's grace. This is good because all we like sheep have gone astray. This is good because we are all tax collectors. We can try to be the Pharisee, but we know we're not. God, have mercy. And during this journey towards the resurrection, don't rush to get to Easter, but hold back and look at the cross. Shall we pray? God, as we journey towards the resurrection, we don't want to get there too fast, because we need these days to confess, to repent, to reflect, to return. Oh God, we need your mercy. And we need your grace, and that mercy and grace comes only through Jesus. Let us humble ourselves. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. God, we need to lose all our guilty stains. As sinners, we plunge beneath the flood, lose all our guilty stains, not by what we do, not by what we give, not by, it's not us, less of us, more of Jesus, all of God's grace. In Christ's name I pray, amen. And so we're going to sing that hymn. There is a fountain. Look at the words. There is a fountain. Find your way to that fountain and experience God's forgiveness. We're all tax collectors. We're the other. And we can be covered and forgiven. Live in that grace today. Would you stand?